You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
What did you say, Ivan? What do you want to hear it through the headphones?
Well, normally they come through the headphones.
Well, what?
That's all right.
It's not coming through the headphones. No, why do you need it through the headphones? You're only just sitting 2 feet away from me.
Exactly.
Tremendous news, Don and Ivan. Don, tremendous news. We didn't like to preempt because we never do like to preempt whether our co-host of sorts is ever coming in, because sometimes she gets stuck. You said she'd
been... I don't
think
she does.
...trapped on the freeway.
No, I think it's just an excuse.
Well, we'll ask her, because she's arrived. Phoebe.
I have
Fiona
wandered
Byrne
in.
From the...
Yes.
The social reporter.
No, I think the Herald Sun have let her in this week, or 3AW, because she's got these other employers and they're very...
Well, she's here, so
well,
they're
very conscious of her image.
Oh, stop
and
it,
by
Don.
Coming on here, you're just degrading
Well, she's
it.
Here, so they're obviously not too worried
well,
about it.
Well, they don't know.
What, they're the only people that
she
don't
won't
listen?
Be, we won't
Shut
see
up,
for,
Don.
We won't see her for 6 weeks.
So I'm
Can
glad
I just actually... Don, stop it. I talk to Don a lot, and Sam, you and I chat a lot on the phone, so I'm constantly in contact with you boys. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just juggling a few things.
No, I...
Right.
Now, you're,
and by
you're
the way, the traffic
celebrity.
Is terrible on the Westgate Freeway.
Now, you're a cross celebrity.
Yes.
I watched the Australian of the Year last week.
Oh, Don, where are you? Yeah, go on. Okay.
Now, the
who was it?
Her name is Taryn Brumfitt.
Brumfitt?
Now, she's an activist for body image.
Right.
Now,
She's Australian of the Year.
She's Australian of the Year. Now, I understand some people have a...
Brumfitt?
Brumfitt is her name. She's from Adelaide. She's written books. She's a keynote speaker. She speaks. So she's obviously very good.
Image.
But body imaging, what has our society come to with regard to body imaging?
So what does she look like?
Now, I'm concerned because it'll be our taxes that are going to pay for these people who've got a problem.
What does she look like?
All right, normal.
Well, you said body. What? How did she win it?
Well, because obviously giving support or something to people who've got a body image problem.
Fat shaming them and that.
Well, no, I suppose it could be anorexia.
She's not anorexic.
No,
mate.
I'm not. I'm saying, Ivan, listen, it covers a lot of different genres as far as body shapes go.
And how would that qualify you to be Australian of the Year?
That's also, these people that she's supporting, they're going to put pressure on us as a society, because we will be paying their medical bills no matter what they are. And
Phoebe,
a lot of these things could be rectified by just our...
Okay, I think we're not... I
no,
guess
no, if you just sit on the fence if
I'm
know,
not going to sit
you
on
won't
the...
Be,
no, I just think that you're being a little simplistic with what you're saying. And I do think that you are perhaps... Your issue is with people who are perhaps overweight. I think that's what your issue is here. Whereas Taryn, and I will say this, I didn't know a lot about her before she was made Australian of the Year, but her whole issue is about she's founded this thing called the... What is it called? It's called the Body Image Movement. And really, it seems to be more about, it seems to be very mental health based, actually, more so than just in your, don't let me put words into your mouth, but I think what you're saying is you're concerned that perhaps what she's representing is just, you know, a lax attitude towards weight.
Well, I think so. And since last Thursday, I've been very conscious of it. I was at the tip the other day unloading green waste. And I looked across, here's a young man, he's got bloody car tyres down his torso. I mean, he's overweight to buggery.
Well, that, look.
Let me pull you up here because
he's got
society's changed. I remember, as a
he's
young
got
boy,
tattoos of car ties.
No, car ties, you whacker. And
what?
He's carrying too much weight. That's what he said.
I thought you meant he had tattoos of car ties. What the hell are you talking about?
Don, keep going. Tell us what your issue is.
Okay, well, the issue is that this is the way our society's going. Now, whether we had enough to eat when we were growing up, I don't know, but our meals were regulated. Well, in my household, if you're still hungry, go and have a piece of bread. We were told to get, as soon as we came home from school, and I reckon kids sit on the computer, get outside. Do not come back in until tea time. So we had to go and occupy ourselves for a couple of hours. You know, it was always get out of the house. We don't want to see you in the house, through the day. These kids are on TV and whatever else. And have a look at society, the way it's going. I have never seen so many big people in all my life.
Right. Well, so, Phoebe, I've never heard of...
Yeah.
Taryn?
Taryn.
I've never heard of it. And I didn't know she was made that. So what do you think, Phoebe? Was she a worthy winner of Australia?
Look, I think if you look at the broader context of what she's representing, she's talking about mental health and she's talking about...
Oh, is she?
Yeah, and she's talking about positive body image. Now, I don't think that any of that is actually bad or a negative. I think it's actually... I'm not going to say that people who... I think most people could probably...
Shape up a bit.
Yes, I do. I mean, I certainly could.
I could too. Ivan could.
Ivan
looks like a drain pipe.
You look fantastic, John.
Yeah,
for 80.
Thank you, Don.
But for 80, he's not 80. 80. You're not 80.
He's not 80. Just,
anyway,
Molly's 80.
But Don, I take your point, but I do think, having someone who's representing positive body image and, kind of spreading a good message about actually liking yourself and dealing with your mental health and having some sort of...
And what does she look like?
She looks great.
Good. So she's a good nick, is she? As we'd say, Don.
But I don't... But also,
I'm sitting next to two people who have been elite sportsmen. Not every person
in Melbourne or in Victoria or in Australia can be an elite athlete.
That's got nothing to do with it. It has really got nothing...
I think it has something to do with your perception of all of these.
No, it doesn't, because you look after yourselves. We're on Kate Saves meals at the moment. You just got to look after and watch how much goes in and how much... Yeah, but the other thing is... Aren't there more? Is this a bit wokeish? What the award is, how it's going?
Well, what do you want? I mean, in the past,
somebody that maybe contributed, Australian of the Year, has done something internationally,
but
or
Don, in the past,
put Australia out there.
Well, in the past, it was usually if you were a cricket captain, you became the Australian of the Year, or if you'd had a good song, you became the Australian of the Year. I actually really like it when we've got people who are, a few years ago,
everyday
Australians, but I really think that, I want to say, was Dr. Fiona Wood, I think she was an Australian of the Year at one stage, and I think that anyone who is sort of excelling in that field of science or...
About the man who traversed Australia twice in aid of women's breast cancer?
Shane Crawford.
Should have absolutely been Australian of the Year.
I think he was nominated. No, he wasn't even nominated. Someone should have put him forward as Australian of the Year
for what he did for women.
Yeah.
He's finally been recognised too up at Finlay.
Finlay?
Finlay.
Gee, that'll make him happy.
Well, I went through Finlay on the way to Queensland last year and they got a big sign as you come in the country town, the home of Tom Hawkins, leading AFL goal kicker, and no Brownlow medalist, Shane Crawford. I thought the Brownlow medal would rank higher. But anyway, they've finally recognised him and now they've got a sign. Home of Shane Crawford and Tom Hawkins.
In Finlay.
Finlay.
Well, gee whiz. Australian of the Year, you should have been.
You know, there's been some other important people come out of Finlay. Jenny Key. Do you remember Jenny Key? Is she still around, the fashion designer?
Is it Jenny Who you're talking about or Jenny Key?
I thought it was Key.
Anyway.
Now, speaking
of Spider Bait. Cram comes from Finley.
Yeah. Why don't you go through the phone book of people Bill who Brown live in went Finley. To the high That'll school fascinate at people, Don.
Who came out of Beaufort? Anybody we know?
Be quiet, Don. Shane O'Bree.
Start off in alphabetical
Shane
order.
Shane O'Bree.
Yep.
Now, speaking of people with mental health, you were saying that Taryn Townsend, what's her name?
Taryn Brumby.
Taryn Brumby. She is, you said she's, you think it's about mental health. Now, you've spoken to a man who's suffering from mental health, and you wrote an article about him, and have you spoken to him since, and did he like the article you wrote in the Sunday Herald Sun about our friend and a sometimes guest on this panel, Rex Hunt?
Oh, Rex. Now, I am extremely fond of Rex, as we all are. And I did write a story about...
Fond of him?
I think Rex is terrific. I really do. But Rex is going through a bit of a tough time at the moment, as we all know. And I did write a story about the fact that he had an incident on the Princess Freeway and is receiving some help following that. He called me a number of times about it. You know, I think he would probably at some point like another story written.
What would you write? Publicity?
No, I think he's just going through... I think he's just going through a really tough time, and I think it's quite a good thing that he's having a bit of a rest and getting some support.
What would he like you to write about in this time? Because I thought you were very fair with the last article.
I heard what you said last week as well, and I think that it was good that you'd gone down and seen him, and I think he was very supportive. I think he very much appreciated that, Sam.
Well, and well, we would appreciate it, so we took him down twisties and iced coffee. And, yes,
he told me that. He told me that.
Fetish for twisties and iced
coffee. No wonder he's fat and overweight.
He's not fat and overweight.
Well, you're feeding him twisties.
He's not fat and overweight.
You're not feeding him rubbish. No wonder.
You have an obsession at the moment with this.
I'm not feeding him rubbish. He requested us to.
Well, he's going to. Cark it. He's going
to.
We're
stop.
All going to well, cark it, Don.
Hang on, you're in the prime of your life.
Stop speaking stupidly, Don. So what did he want you to write about him this time?
He has an idea for a story.
But
he has a million ideas. So, but Sam, as I reckon we all would probably agree here. It's good that he's having some support provided to him at the moment, and he's just needing. He just isn't going through a really great, you know, patch, and you're giving me a look.
No,
you look
I'm asking you what was the idea of he wanted you to write an idea about
he
what
he has some issues on crime in Melbourne that he would like to have addressed.
Jeez, and he's been attacked by a few people in his time, hasn't he?
He did accuse. Some people have assaulting him at the, and you couldn't write it because
several years ago he did. Also, he made those sorts of allegations, and I think he may have voiced a similar. He may have voiced a similar issue, you know, along those lines.
Write it because unless the people were charged, it was just hearsay, wasn't it? Is there a photograph? Is there a CCTV of them assaulting him or shooting at him?
Oh, Sam, stop it. No.
I think it's the
you
same
You said Fiona. Phoebe. He said he was assaulted at a service station. Surely they would have CCTV to back up what he said, and therefore if the people were charged, you could write about it. That's what I'm saying. You are being absolutely ethical by not mentioning it. Well, you mentioned
it. But didn't he run into trouble when he came on this podcast? He told us about the trouble he got into in Turretin.
That's right.
That's what I'm referencing.
So do you think these people are following him around?
Oh, Don, do you know what? I want to talk about someone else who turned 80.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what Johnny. I want to talk about. Not Sam. I want to mention Molly because, Sam, actually, the question is to you. You were a guest at Molly's 80th birthday on the weekend. Tell us a bit about that because you were our representative.
I was. I turned up and I had... Molly had given me one of his actual hats that he wears, has been araldited to his head for the last 40 years, and he came on the Footy Show 30 years ago or something, and he gave me a hat. So I got the hat out of the drawer, and I wore it there, and people said, oh, and I said, yes, imitation's the best sincerest form of flattery, so I'm, you know, he's a great man and all that. Now, Molly was not in great physical shape but as we speak, and... it was an enjoyable function run by...
Jerry Ryan.
Thank you.
Jerry Ryan ran it.
Mm. Yes, he ran it. And there was a couple of speeches and a couple of people sang. And Molly chipped in.
I think Mike Brady sang.
No, he didn't. No, he was at Des Tasman's.
He was at Des Tasman's. I'm getting them mixed up. Yes,
I was asked to go to that but couldn't go to both of them. So a couple of people sang and
what
Molly...
What singers were there?
Well, there's a woman I'd never heard of her. I don't know why she was there, but I don't...
Well, what singers...
I don't know. Well, Russell Morris didn't sing, but he was there.
Your friend?
Yeah, Russell.
He's good, Russell
Very,
Morris.
Very, very good. Can we get him on the podcast?
Actually, he would be good to have on the podcast.
He's going to come on.
Oh,
good.
Fantastic.
The real thing?
Yes.
And then
Wings of an Eagle?
And
you want me to give you a few others? I listened to it all the way to Queensland, his song up on the Newell Highway, his whole album.
John Blackman was there with Cecile.
Oh, John, yes.
And he had his little dicky knee dummy
character,
dwarf
yep.
thing.
Character.
And they John's speech has dropped away by his own admission since he had his jaw realigned like John Farnham.
Yeah.
And the conversation between he and Molly was an interesting one. That was pretty hard to understand most of that conversation. And but he was there and in very good form. And Billy Slater, who represented the Storm, he was there.
He's a good horse rider, Fiona.
I know.
Comes from Innisfail, I think.
And then Molly interjected. He was sitting down and had a microphone and made comments about the various people who spoke and made comments about them. And some of them were a bit hard to understand. But he liked them all. And it was a very nice night. And I didn't see a cake or anything like that. But there was quite a band of people there wishing him well on his 80th.
I'm
not sure that he should step out too much more because I don't think he's in great health.
I think we probably all got that impression after the Elton John pants dropping
debacle.
Incident. Yeah, it wasn't his best moment, and I wish that hadn't have. I actually wish that had not happened because I just don't think any good has come of that. I mean, Molly and Elton have been friends forever, and I suspect that Elton probably wasn't impressed at all about Molly ending up on stage.
He didn't look impressed, did he?
No.
At the time,
they'd actually met, caught up before the show.
Oh, did they?
So they, you know, Elton obviously. Like all great artists, you know, they would invite people backstage to, you know, catch up either before or after the show. And I understand that Molly was one of the people that was invited backstage pre-show to catch up and, you know, have a chat with Elton. And I just think it's just unfortunate that for some reason he decided to get on stage and drop his pants. It just was very unnecessary.
Look at that. If you, do you watching
I am
this?
Watching. I'm watching you he's throw. I'm watching you throw you,
no,
things at
this
Don.
This is the third pen he's dismantled. For God's sake, put the writing implements down, Don.
Can I ask you a question about the?
I have to go
Elton
to Officeworks every week after the pod show, after the podcast, and get a whole lot a new set of biros because he pulls them all apart.
Was John Moncrief doing his job? At the Elton John concert, or wasn't
was
he on security?
I don't think Johnny was doing security
nothing
that
to do
night.
With John
I don't
Moncrief.
Think that was one of his
Elton would have. Well, you were here last week, and we interviewed John Moncrief. He said that, Don.
That was a good chat last week.
He was good.
John
was very
is very
good, John.
Interesting.
You're a. God, you're
he was. He was involved at the St Kilda Football Club for a while. Too.
Yeah, he said that.
I'm
just going to repeat all the interview that we had.
Can
with him,
I just say, I thought it was very interesting his comments about Australian Idol because, you know, I write
yes.
a lot about TV and I thought that was really interesting, his revelations about
yes.
the, you know, the serious threat that they, or the serious threats that they were dealing with surrounding Anthony Kalea
and the
back in 2004.
Pest,
and the
Hall.
Serial pest, that I had never heard that before. I thought that was fascinating.
I'd never. Yeah. I knew the serial pest who he was, but I'd never heard that before. No.
Yeah.
Now I've watched. I did a couple of flicks through the as I'm looking for programs, and one I saw is Married at First Sight. It's
oh, I love it. I love
you
that
love
show.
It.
I love it.
Why?
It's just chaos. at an extreme level.
It's an insult to your intelligence.
Oh, stop it. Everyone's allowed to sit back and just
what?
Switch off and indulge in a bit of rubbish every now and again. And that's my
indulgence. The other show I saw was on a Channel 9 thing called Botched. It's plastic surgeons in
America.
Yeah. And one person, and I don't know the gender, this person had me buggered. I don't know if they were male or female.
Okay, so Botched is an American TV show, and it is really where two
plastic surgeons
or cosmetic surgeons, you know, they're trying to sort people out who have had unfortunate or ill-advised cosmetic or plastic surgery procedures done on them. And, yes, some of it's quite extreme. They turn up sometimes quite...
Yeah, but this person, I didn't know whether it was male or female. Now... I really don't know, and I sat there intrigued as to how this person identified.
Can I just say, Sam, about Botched? I've actually interviewed a lady here in Melbourne who was on Botched.
And really?
Yes, and she was actually told on air, it went to air this episode, that she'd had far too much surgery and what she was asking for was too extreme, and she's one of the few people that they've refused to ever operate on.
Well, he did preface his thing asking this person whether they'd been on steroids. They're I think a bodybuilder and
didn't know the gender. And the companion show, of course, is Dr. Pimple Popper. Have you watched that?
Everyone knows about Dr. Pimple Popper. Revolting. revolting.
What are you talking about?
There's this people come on, men and women come on, who've got growths and pus and lumps on their head, and they lance them and squeeze out and spurt pus and shit all over the camera lens and stitch them up, and they say, look, isn't that good? How you make people a show out of that is like making it out of the big world little people, the dwarfs. That is just purely taking advantage of people. Now, let me tell you this, Phoebe. Would you have thought when you started in the business that there's a show on Netflix, we've mentioned it. One is called I Don't Give a... It's got F, a couple of question marks, and then K, I Don't Give a Fuck Anymore, that's what it's about, and My Massive Cock. Have you seen that?
What?
No.
No, on Netflix.
You think I'm making that up? Google it. It's called My Massive Cock.
That's on YouTube.
It's on Netflix. Gonna be good on the work phone. Show.
They
show blokes with massive units.
I felt sorry for those blokes. I watched it, actually.
You felt sorry for the man with the big cock, did you?
Yep, really did feel sorry.
Oh, holy mackerel.
I felt sorry for them.
Did you? Why? What, they couldn't get their
pants
on?
Well, what they were going through.
What were they going through?
Oh, shit.
They were going through...
It was like a fireman's hose with varicose veins.
Like a baby's arm hanging out of a pram with an apple in the end of it. And have you got it, My Massive Cock?
He was talking about having a reduction.
We did this 3 weeks ago.
Well, I saw it on Netflix. I don't care.
That's right, Netflix.
Okay, Netflix. Something else I saw last night. Not that show. Pamela Anderson has a documentary that dropped on Netflix last night, and I thought, I'm coming in here today, so I need to talk to you about Pamela Anderson. Really interesting doco, 2 hours. It's her life.
Do you know
her
she's
words.
A great supporter of? Julian Assange.
Yes, she is, and that was mentioned in the documentary. Having a look at. It's really very interesting. But even though you built a house as almost a homage to her, you've never met her.
No.
Did you ever have ever...
I didn't build a house in a homage. Cassandra Fay, who was the architect, she put the pixelated image of her across the whole front of the house. I had nothing to do with it. I'm not backing away from it. It was my house. I never lived in the house, but I got accused of making it into a...
What was the name? Fay, F-A-Y?
Cassandra Fay.
F-A-Y?
No, F-E-Y... H-E or something.
Did you ever have, like when you were building the property, did people try and stop it through council?
Well, not through council, because the first time I ever saw what it was, she opened out the pixelated plans of it on the desk of the man who was giving out the permits, and almost in unison, he and I said, "What is it?" And she said she held it up and stood back a bit so that we could see it, and it came into, you could see it. It was a pixelated image, and she put it over the whole front of the house, So I had nothing to do with it. I sanctioned it. I gave it the okay to go ahead. She became world famous with that. That went all over the world. That's the first time. And it's still there. And it's, as I say, buses go past it now. Instead of going past the house where they made Neighbours and all those, they go past that now and say, yeah, and I'm always get ripped a new one. They say, yes, this was Sam Newman's house. And he tried to turn it into a ball stall or a bloody brothel or something.
But you never lived
nothing
in
of
it.
The sort. It was a very, very. That was her first. That was her first steps into being an architect.
And you never lived in the property, though, did you?
Never.
No. Yeah.
But
did you two people just cutting in there? Did you see in America they're trying to change that? Well, a fellow's come up trying to change the name of pedophiles.
Yes.
To MAPS. Minor attracted persons.
That's right.
Can you believe that?
No, they're doing all that stuff. Gender assignment if your kid's under, like, you haven't even got to puberty and they're doing gender assignment legally, hospitals until they get called out and then they take it off their website. Can I ask you this? Mm. Now, you will, you probably won't want to comment on this. No. So, Don, what? You and
well,
I...
Well, her hands are crossed across her body, her arms are folded, and that's not good body language. You're not open here, Fiona. You're protecting yourself. You're very
She's
tense. You're not relaxed.
Do you know what I love? You're criticising my body language. You're going, oh, you're not open the way you're sitting. Look at you. I'm just copying you. You're basically lying across the desk.
So
I'm waiting for your feet to go up.
She can hardly cross her arms about this because I haven't said what I was going to say.
But she's weary.
You and Ivan and I couldn't give a stuff about what you signal as, what you want to identify as. We don't care. We're not of that ilk. but if people want to be, but I tell you what, I watched a British series. If you could actually try, they tried so hard to show that they were being inclusive and diverse and equitable in the way they put a show together. I watched a British TV series. It was a cold case detective thing. And it was so obvious it was insulting. They had a man who was a surgeon who this woman had been found dead in a park and they went to interview him about it. And he said, yes, he said, I didn't have much to do with it because I'm married. And the person said, what's your wife's name? He said, no, I'm married to a man. So that was the first thing. They just insisted that they show that he was married to a man. And then they had boys who'd been in the pub, black and white boys and any other colour, Asian, all diverse, mixed of eclectic people. And they walked out and they were questioning these two boys who walked out holding hands, a black boy and a white boy holding hands. So they were an item. So I thought they falling over themselves to show how woke they are. So then they go into a hospital and there's a woman having an ultrasound on her baby. And she is as white as the driven snow. And the bloke holding her hand is as black as just black. I couldn't get any blacker. She couldn't be any whiter. And they're having a baby together. So this interracial marriage and all this going on. And you'll say, fine. But it was there was not one example of heterosexual people getting together. The credibility, they couldn't go out. It was so obvious. They went out of their way to show that they were going to represent every single diverse nature of people in this planet without actually showing that there's some... not regular people, but there's some heterosexual people who actually go out together. It was so pathetic, and I thought, could you fall over backwards to show that you're being, that you're stepping to the plate and being evolving?
Okay, I don't know what show this is that you were watching, but I have the perfect answer have the perfect answer to your concerns here. Sam, switch channels. Jump onto another streaming service. Turn it off.
Phoebe, I like the plot of the show. It was Cold Case. It's called Karen Piri, I think, was on. I liked the show. It didn't worry me, but It was so obvious, and you think, could they show another example of how woke and diverse they are by putting... Would there be any chance they could show some normal people, not normal, I'm not saying normal, some regular people who have a heterosexual relationship? There's not one. And I watched the show, and I keep watching it. It's a series, because I liked the investigation of the woman, and... But it was extraordinary. It was so obvious. It was embarrassing.
I would like you to do a review next week of Married at First Sight.
Married at First.
Well, yes. What is it on?
It's on Channel 9.
And when is it on?
7:30. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay, I've never watched it.
It's 4 nights a week.
I've never watched it. But if you'll come in next week, I'll give you a review.
Yeah, I would like you to watch it and tell me what you think of it.
I presume it's concocted so that people think that the people who have met one another have never met before. And is that right?
Well, they haven't.
Yeah,
they haven't met before. And they meet when they get married. Inverted commas, when there is a TV ceremony.
If I could ask the obvious question, how many of those marriages end up lasting? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, 1, 2, 3, oh, really? 4. There's 4. Well, there's one marriage that's going to take place in the next couple of weeks, and there's about 4 marriages, and there's a few babies that have been born.
Really?
Yeah. It's been weirdly
successful. I watched it for a series because I thought I should be acquainted with it.
Why did you?
Because, just like Fiona suggested to you, and there was a girl called Jess.
Jessica Power.
Beg your pardon, what has happened to that girl?
Oh, no, well, Jess has done a few reality TV shows, and she's now living in London. She has an OnlyFans. An OnlyFans account. So
what's
she's
that?
That's an adult subscription account.
What?
And
tell me, what is it?
Nude photos. Nude photos.
Really?
Yes.
Pornographic.
Hang on.
You can have a look at the bits and pieces, but you've got to subscribe.
She's had a lot of body enhancements, saw when she
has.
Was on that.
I did a story with Jess. So Jess was on the show in 2019, and she's terrific. Like, I really like Jess, and if she's...
What she put on her website, her position, her in different positions.
Oh, well, I'm not a subscriber, but it's...
You subscribe?
No, I don't, but she tells me that it's mainly just nudes. It's nothing, you know, there's no partners involved or anything like that. It's just nudes. But
just groin shots.
Who would know? But she's turned herself into someone who's, you know, she's getting reality TV work in Australia and in England. She's terrific. If she's in Melbourne, I would love her to come in here because she's she's extremely...
we'd love to have her on. You put us on to Isabella Del Toro.
She's a really great
She was fabulous. She was Miss Nude World, that had several sexual partners in pornographic films. And she came in here and you manhandled us so much that I thought we're going to make another film out of it here on the floor. You almost disrobed her.
She was a really interesting interview subject.
She was fantastic. Don asked her about equestrians because she had horses.
Yes, she does.
And my next question was, how do you prepare yourself for anal sex? And Don nearly fell off the chair because he thought she was in here to chat about equestrian and horse riding. And we were asking her about the steamy scenes and the steamy... trade of
Don
making pornographic
here. Don sitting here going bright red. Tell me
such
about the
prude.
Show jumping on the weekend,
such
by the
a
way,
prude
Don.
You are.
How did your show jumping go?
Up and down.
Of course it went up and down.
No, the horses went up, but some went all right. We're going back again this week, Fiona, to Boneo Park.
Are we going to go and do a day trip?
If you don't get COVID again.
Well, I did get COVID last time, that's true. Yep.
Now,
are you recovered from that COVID?
I actually think it took me quite a while to get over COVID.
Have you got long COVID?
I don't know that I've got long COVID. I don't think I do.
Well, you
but
want to
I
stick around for the
well.
Interview we're going to do next. We're going to speak about COVID and just what is going on with people who make the vaccines and the people who distribute the information and misinformation, and any, if you have a conspiracy theory, that is concerned, and that's called misinformation. Now, Phoebe, I want to ask you this.
Sam.
We did mention that there were six great Australian tennis players, all champions, who'd been asked to the Australian Open. And I said that Margaret Court wasn't there, and I said, I'm not sure if she was not asked or she was asked and she declined to come. And I said to Don off air, I said, I tell you who would know that is Phoebe, and bugger me, Dad, you walked in, so I'm asking you now. Was she asked to go?
My understanding is she was asked. There was an invitation extended, but she didn't come across from Perth to Melbourne for the Open this year.
Because she would have been heckled.
She wasn't heckled. I don't think she was heckled the last time she was here. Look,
she the should be Margaret
Court,
roundly.
Can I just say, she has had a bit of a drama last week, because apparently her property down at she has a property on the beach over in Perth, and apparently it was robbed on Australia Day, which I think is really awful. Regardless of what you think of her stance on certain issues, I just think, you know, that's a horrible violation to have anyone break into your property.
Yeah, what you say, despite what you think of her stance on certain issues, she is a minister of the cloth, and her doctrine and her upbringing says that she follows the Bible, and that the man and a woman are the people who should be married. That's what she thinks. I don't think she says live and let live, but if she's asked, she says that and just gets roundly condemned for having that principle that's innate in her from her birth. That's what she thinks, and she's become a minister, and to preach anything else would be hypocritical.
And she is...
Is that fair comment?
That's fair comment from you, and look, I will say this, she is just an her achievements in her chosen career, that being tennis, are still extraordinary.
And we had the great Frank Sedgman on here.
Oh, wasn't he fabulous?
He was absolutely brilliant. And he, there's a 94, 5-year-old man who has a gay grandson. And he spoke, he loved it, that's his... but he's brought up in a...
Sam, that was a real treat to be able to sit here with Frank.
Fantastic.
He was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he was.
And I must say, that is how lucky we are in Melbourne, you know, to have icons of Australian sport here in the, you know, in the community with us, who are willing to sit down and tell their story and talk about their experiences. It was just wonderful.
Well, there's someone else going to tell his story shortly.
Oh, before you do that, can I ask you a question? I need to ask you a question.
Just telling people that we've got someone up.
Our Lister from Israel will be very, very happy. He'll be jumping, or she or he will be jumping for joy that you're back on for Fiona.
Don, you're very kind.
Oh, no.
Can
Fiona's
I just ask
very big success.
This? What is going on? Now, I have a photo
here. What have you got?
I have a photo here of Sam wearing his red T-shirt, hanging out. You look like you're in a... You look like you're getting ready for a drag race or something.
As in a drag race in the cars or just in drag?
No.
No. So Elise Elliott, who is Tom Elliott's wife, or maybe Elise...
Wife.
Elise, whatever her name was.
No, she's Elise Elliott.
I know, but maybe...
partner.
Maybe Tom would say that he's her husband. Elise Elliott, who fills in for her husband on the radio. You've been on probably with her,
have you? Yes, I have, yes.
She is starting a motor show, a car show with Dermot Brereton. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Well, I'm telling you something.
Breaking news.
I wonder if I should be mentioning it.
Anyhow, she
has a Mustang, the same as me, a 67 Mustang. Hers a 68. And she wanted for the first episode to come and have a look and show the cars, and did a bit of a thing as a on the cars, and went through the garage out here, and I showed her the other ones. So she's a petrol head, as we say.
She is.
And, so when's it go to air?
And I don't care if I shouldn't say this or not, Don, but looks very, very sharp in the photograph. She's got a pair of looks very, very handy, and loves the car. And so we did a bit of a bit of filming yesterday, and you asked me about, and I had the You Cannot Be Serious T-shirt on, Don. Why wouldn't I, Don?
He did. He had his branding.
Yep. Well, I thought that's fair enough. Quid pro quo, you know how it works.
I was wondering what was going on because I was seeing your photos and I'm thinking, what have you been up to getting out on the road, burning around?
I didn't put them on. I didn't have them. But she sent them to me. So, no, and she was very happy with this. And Dermot's out there doing it as well, Dermot Brereton. Don't know what he's doing, Don, but they've got a car show coming up. I was asked to do a car show with Shane Warne when he was alive.
Oh, Shane. Yep.
But, well, that didn't get far. Anyhow, they're doing it, and it's coming up next month on 7/8 or something or whatever. Surely you knew that, Phoebe. No, you didn't. all right, well, there we are. So is there anything else, Don? Don, any
well,
final...
Well, there's plenty. I think we could do another episode.
We're going to do another episode. We're going to speak to our guest. Quickly tell me what you... Go on, quick.
Oh, I've got a million topics.
Okay, give us what's one. Your list? Give us some of your list.
He's got none. See, this is what he does. He has got none, or else it'll be regurgitated from two or three broadcasts ago. He said, oh, by the way, I want to mention the potholes. And Don, I said, you've mentioned the fucking potholes 15 times now. You've got to come up with some new material. All right, well, I'll give you another one. What about that? And I said, Don, we did that last week. Go on, watch the next one. Don, please, give us one of your topics.
Nothing.
It's pathetic, isn't it?
I would like to say something just quickly. While Don is thinking about what he would like to say.
Don's thinking about nothing. There's nothing going round in that cranium of his. It's dead air. They could make space invaders inside his cranium.
There's a show called Space Invaders. But, Sam, I just wanted to pay a tribute to our friend, Anne Peacock, who last night announced that she has stepped away from Crown Casino, where she was in the media. Well, really, she's been the face of Crown Casino, the Crown Entertainment Complex. She's really been the face of that complex for 29 years.
She has.
And she put on social media last night that she is leaving that particular role and she's moving on to another chapter in her life. And I just have to say personally, Annie, well done. What a fantastic innings.
Don and I mentioned this a fortnight ago when she became a successful candidate for the Victoria Racing. And we said, tongue-in-cheek, Don, because we mentioned it, we said we probably got her over the line and that went over like a wrought iron hang glider with her. And anyhow, so we congratulated her all those weeks ago. And so we did say that she was stepping away from Crown because Crown are moving in a different direction. She's moved in a different direction. And we did say we wish her well. And we are taking a lot of credit for the fact that we probably got the extra votes for people who listen to this. We said, why don't you vote for Anne Peacock?
Stop it.
And we told her that and she said, you cannot be serious, can you? So that, as I say. So there we are. So well done,
Well
Phoebe.
Done, Annie.
Well done, Annie.
She has done a hell of a job, as I said, for nearly 30 years and she's a really great advocate for this town.
She is, and Don agrees. Don't you, Don? Now, I went to, and her great friend is... Kathy
Haynes.
Kathy Haynes. And I was with Kathy Haynes last week because we went to the memorial for her father, the great David Haynes, who passed away. He was 94 or 5 or something, 93. And so... there they are. They're inseparable. They're not inseparable, Don, but they're very good friends. You would know that because you know both
Haynes
of them.
David Haynes is a unique individual that did some incredible things in his life.
Yeah.
A very, very unique
individual. Have your voice not trail off when you speak, Don, because no one heard that.
Well, look, I would just say that for me, I remember the first time I read or heard about David was via Kingston Town. the racehorses. I'm interested in horse racing and always have been. And just the magic... 1981 Melbourne Cup. But the whole story of Kingston Town and then that incredible, you know, story that came through the various horses that the Haynes family bred, and they all ran with either the Kingston or the Portland moniker as part of their names. It's just a great Australian racing story.
Away from racing, he was still an incredible individual. Oh. Away from racing, what he did, quite remarkable.
And so we sailed on Kingston Town's boat with Richard, his son, and Kathy's brother, when Eddie and I went over for the World Cup Soccer Cup in 2006, I think. We went over there and sailed on his boat across the Mediterranean. Oh, yes, very good upper echelon stuff there, Don. Now, Don, one final chance to give us some of your topics that you say you've got 100 of, or we'll wind this up. Last chance, Don, come on. Here you are. Can you read any of the scribble he's written down?
No.
See if you can look at it. What's he got? Roads, horses.
This.
Hawthorne! Now, finally, we're doing Hawthorne. So, you're all right over there. This is our guest. Hawthorne. Don, we missed this. Now, listen to this. Don says.
Here it is. Hawthorne issues.
Go ahead. I'll tell you what Don's told me. Hawthorne are about to implode because the new president, Andrew Gowers, who wanted to play golf with me because he wouldn't come on to be interviewed, but did an interview with every other paper but wouldn't come on here unless I played golf with him. Anyhow, he has edged out Mr. Nankerville, and now Mr. Nankerville has been retained by Andrew Gowers. Thank you, Don. I knew you'd pick it up shortly.
Here we go.
I think Mr. Nankerville will be approached by Mr. Gowers to act as a consultant because he has got all the intellectual property in relation to the racial issue and also the new Dingley complex. And also, Mr. Gowers received accolades yesterday for the sponsorship or the extension of the sponsorship from Tasmania. But it was Mr. Nankerville who did all of this prior to the election last year. And the reason it was hung over by the Tasmanian government was for political reasons. They couldn't announce it before the election.
There are ructions going on.
For political reasons, they couldn't announce it back in October or November of last year. So they've just announced it now after Mr. Nankerville missed out on that position.
So you seem to be suggesting, Don, that Mr. Nankerville has had the carpet swept from under him and Mr. Gowers has taken the credit for something that he's had nothing to do with on a number of fronts.
They talk about Mr. Gowers was talking about good governance in his pre-election and the old committee lacked governance. Well,
Mr. Nankerville is responsible for all the governments and got usurped by Mr. Gowers.
But now, Mr. Gowers' board hasn't got any governance or good governance because they're not across all of these issues and not qualified to talk on all of these issues.
That's fantastic.
So I would say, and plus the fact there's $10 million coming, Mr. Gowers promised prior to the election. He's got 10 people willing to give $1 million each.
Has that happened
yet? Jeff Kennett left the presidency, so they were just waiting in the wings with $1 million each in their pocket to give to Hawthorne.
Has that entered the coffers yet?
Well, no, we're still waiting on that. But then again, Mr. Molino, the Deputy Premier, when he was acting Premier last year, promised $15 million to Hawthorne. Now he's on the Hawthorne board. I wonder when that money's going to come forward.
I better take up the offer of golf down at the headquarters, Royal
Melbourne. Hang on, you got a choice, Melbourne or Point Lonsdale.
Yeah, I might surreptitiously film him like the bloke from Pfizer was surreptitiously filmed saying that Pfizer mutate all the organisms and then the pandemic so that they can get a vaccine to fix it. As corrupt as you can get. Anyhow, our next guest will speak to him about that. So I might surreptitiously record Mr. Gowers while I'm playing golf.
Now, listen, you got to try Kate Saves balls. There's a 10% discount on them.
Oh, yeah.
They're beautiful, Fiona. They are beautiful.
Thank you, Don.
Sims, you'll get 10%.
Don,
she's going to do a deal, isn't she?
No, if you're going to do it properly, mate. Why do I have to tidy up everything you do? She sent that in to you and me. Why can't you do it
properly?
Because
I can't read. I've suffered from dyslexia.
From dyslexia.
He just needs glasses.
Head, you're a dick's head. Here's this what she says. We are launching our February 14-day and 28-day Be Fit Food Challenge tomorrow, which starts Monday the 27th of February. Well, it started. No, it hasn't started because it's just the 1st of February now. Our participants lose up to 5 to 10K during the 14-day, 28-day challenges. I'd like to offer your listeners $100 off either the 14 or 28-day Be Fit Food Challenge. They just need to use the code SERIOUS100. That's the code, SERIOUS100, at the checkout on the website or in store. befitfood.com.au. Why couldn't you have read that out?
A friend of mine has given this a trial, Be Fit Food, for 1 week. She's an athlete and she has lost 2 kilos in 1 week being on this.
That's
food.
That's not that woman Dick, is it? That woman Dick, the runner.
No.
You manhandled her too at a function that I was at.
Well, who haven't I manhandled?
You manhandle anyone you think might be a chance.
Now, okay, I just ask one final question before we hand over to your guests?
Yeah.
Sam, have you been out on your boat lately?
Yeah.
Don,
don't shout. You nearly blew the speakers out. I have been out in my boat, yes. Why do you ask? Why do you ask?
Were you hosting any guests on the boat?
Yes.
Who?
I'm happy to go along with this. Who do you want me to say?
Who do you want to volunteer?
Who was I hosting?
Who were you hosting?
Oh, hell, we have hundreds. Ivan was out the last time.
Oh, were you? Ivan was... Yes.
Who else?
Not the last time. Who?
Warwick Kappa was there? Warwick Kappa.
Oh, Warwick and Ricky.
Yes. Yep. They were
all there. Are they on Facebook?
Oh, Jesus. I said... I had James Brayshaw came out.
Oh, yes.
And with his lovely, charming bride. Well, he's engaged to her. Yeah, Lisa. And I said, because every time we get the boat, Ricky and Warwick, they just go straight to the Facebook and post everything that's happening on the boat. I said, do you reckon you could not put any social media stuff on the platform? Jim's just out here just relaxing and doesn't want to be associated with me necessarily or you two. And that went over well. They took that to heart. So they are very subdued.
Good that you've done that.
They're
because
good people. Who else have I had on there that you
well,
think?
Well, no, you did have the cast of...
Oh, yeah, we've spoken
yes,
about that.
Yes, of Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. How wonderful was that?
They were
like
fantastic.
Fun.
It wasn't... Weather wasn't... They, as I say, there was... There was husband and husband, there was wife and wife, there was non-binary, there was neutral, there was every and they were fantastic people. They loved it, and Shane was great. And in fact, so much so that the man taking over from Shane...
Trevor.
No, in Sydney.
Yes.
Not Trevor.
Yeah, it's Trevor.
No, not Trevor. Well, the man who's not taking over... Who's the well-known actor?
Trevor Ashley's doing Shane's role.
No,
in
well,
Sydney.
Who's doing the proper Pharaoh? Joseph.
Oh, Ewan.
Who?
Ewan Dodge is playing the
no,
Joseph.
He said.
Up there.
He said, "Who was the bloke that used to be on Neighbours?"
Oh no! You're talking about Jason Donovan.
Yes.
Yes. So Jason's actually in Australia getting ready to do a tour of the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh.
But he has played Pharaoh in London.
I get you. Yes. I see. He said he'd told Jason Donovan about it, and invited Jason indirectly onto the boat with all that cast of that crew too. I said, well, that'd be wonderful. Just let us know when they're coming.
So
there was a great picture of Jason. and Shane on Instagram yesterday,
actually. Well, there you are. So he's invited Jason with the crew to come on the boat as well. So no, they were fantastic people, those boys and girls, and, well, those people.
So we're not going to see any more photos of Facebook of you on the boat?
No, and only just...
Because, oh, that's good, because I thought they were just creating a Hugh Hefner image of you.
Oh, yeah, Hef, that's right. I was because I'm driving the boat and all the girls and blokes come up and sit and want their photo taken, and I look like old Hef there with a...
It just looked like Playboy.
I know, so I don't worry.
In the dressing gown.
In the dressing gown and the open-neck trousers.
Have we been anywhere on the boat? Yeah, there's not much places to go on the bay, is
there? No, the bay, plenty of places to go on the bay. Now, so that's it. So, Phoebe, well done, and thanks for coming in. Excellent. Ivan, well, we've got the interview coming up. You might be interested in that. So, Don, thanks for all the topics that you put on. None. And that's it.
Night. I'm worried because you ain't